الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد. For my lecture, I will convey to you the advice of another sister. And this is something that I taught, I think, approximately 4 or 5 years ago. And alhamdulillah, it has been translated. And now it is available in the English language. The book, My Advice to the Women. And I chose to convey the words of Abdullah for a reason, because unfortunately, some of the times when brothers convey advice to the sisters, they think that it is an attack. So it is better that, inshallah ta'ala, the advice, it comes from a sister that, wallah alhamd, possesses knowledge, and a sister that, wallah alhamd, wants good for her sisters. And the first thing I want to remind myself and the sisters is that we were created for a purpose. As Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا. We should recognize and know that Allah created us. وَرَزَقَنَا, and He provided for us. وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا, and Allah Azza wa Jalla did not leave us without a purpose. بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا, rather Allah sent to us a messenger, Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever obeys him will enter paradise. وَمَنْ عَصَاهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ, whoever disobeys the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter the hellfire. So sisters, something that can bring us back to reality, because some of us are living a dream, is that we were created for our purpose. As Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think that we created you in play? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ, do you think that we created you in play? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, and that you will never return to us? This is not a joke. All of us recognize that we were created for our purpose. That purpose is to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. How do we know how to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla? By following the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in another verse, مَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. We did not create the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except in truth. So there is a reason, brothers and sisters. And that is something that we need to continuously remind ourselves. It's not a joke. Allah Azza wa Jalla created us. We will die. Then we will be in our graves. When we are in our graves, it is either bliss or torment. We will be resurrected from our graves, naked, barefooted, uncircumcised. And then we will all face our judgment. A group of people will go to paradise and a group of people will go to the hellfire. That's the reality. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَا مِنْكُمْ أَحَدْ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. There is none from amongst you except that their Lord will speak to him. Allah Azza wa Jalla will speak. to each and every one of us. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ And there will be no interpreter between them. فَيَنْظُرْ أَيْمَنْ When that time comes, sisters, the person will look to their right. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَقَدَّمَ And the only thing you will see is your deeds. The person will look to the left. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَقَدَّمَ The only thing that a person will see is their deeds. وَيَنْظُرْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ And then the person will look in front of themselves. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارَ And the only thing they will see is the hellfire. تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِهِ فَاتَّقُ النَّارَ And the Prophet ﷺ said, protect yourself from the fire, even if it is with half of a date. So this is real. This is not a joke. And Umm Abdullah, she mentions in this advice, she said, unfortunately, some of the sisters, they behave, and also this applies for the brothers, but we're addressing sisters. كَأَنَّنَا خُلِقْنَا لِلدُّنْيَا وَلِلْأَكَلِ Some of us behave as if we were only created for this world, worrying about what we're going to wear, worrying about how we look, our appearance, worrying about what car we drive, worrying about everything that's going on in the community, which is none of your business. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مِنْ حُسْنِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ From the perfection of a person's Islam is that they leave that which doesn't concern them. Why? Because when you involve yourself in that which doesn't concern you, you lose sight of the goal. Many people are infatuated with what's going on in the community, what this brother or this sister is doing or what they've done. مَا الْأَسَفِ الشَّدِيدِ And unfortunately that causes them to not perform the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions of as they have been commanded. Some of them don't even care about their families. They're so busy worrying about other people, they don't even care what's going on in their household. Are they educating their children? They just sit them in front of a television like a vegetable. So, when we hear the statement of Umm Abdullah when she said, وَكَأَنَّنَا خُلِقْنَا لِلدُّنْيَا Some of us behave like if we were created for this world, or to eat and to drink and to play. And wallahi, this is the truth. And inshallah ta'ala, one thing I want to focus upon today, and this was just a brief muqaddimah, is the issue of the lisan, the tongue. The issue of the lisan, the tongue. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with tongues. It is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. However, we will only benefit from the tongue if we use it correctly. And unfortunately, many people, they do not use their tongues correctly. And in many lectures that we attend, there is always a note saying, please can you ask the sisters to remain silent? Or please can you ask the sisters to be considerate of the other people? They want to listen to the lecture. And it's funny that Umm Abdullah, this was one of the first pieces of advice that she gives in her book. And I will have to summarize because it goes into a lot more depth. One of the first chapters that she mentions is, حفظ اللسان Safeguarding and preserving the tongue and its importance and virtue. And she said, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in the Quran, وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon you His blessings. Some of them are apparent and some of them are hidden. Sisters, the greatest blessing is that Allah Azza wa Jal guided you to Al-Islam. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, He guided you to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are we truly grateful for this blessing? If we are truly grateful for this blessing, then sisters, then it is upon us that we act like we are grateful. If we are grateful that Allah Azza wa Jalla guided us to Al-Islam and guided us to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we need to behave as we are grateful. And she said, وَمِنْ دِمْنِ هَذِ النِّعَمِ And from those blessings, al-lisan is the tongue which Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed the servant with. Because through your tongue you can express yourself. The tongue قَدْ يَرْفَعْ صَاحِبَهُ بِسَبَبِهِ إِلَىٰ أَعْلَى الدَّرَجَاتِ. The tongue may be a reason for a person being elevated and being honored. And that's if they use their tongue for beneficial things like the recitation of the Qur'an, supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal, calling to Allah, teaching the people. Think of that. The Qur'an. Why is it so important to recite the Qur'an? Because Allah Azza wa Jal described the Qur'an as being a cure. I'll sit here today in front of the sisters, and I'll mention to them ahadith, and I'll mention to them ayat. But will these ayat and ahadith really have an effect upon the people? That's the question. How is it that people can attend lectures or Jum'ah, and then when they go outside the masjid, they start fighting? How is it that people can attend lectures like today, and when they leave the lecture, they just return back to exactly what they left off? There may be someone in the audience now just talking to the person that's next to them. Why? Again, it goes back to the hearts, as the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha," because in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is upright, then the rest of the body will be upright. If it is corrupt, then the rest of the body will be corrupt, and that is the heart. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Sisters, I'll give you one example. And this is something that we mention in our classes. And that shows the importance of the sisters attending classes. Because that is a solution and an answer for many of the problems that we face. Naam, it's virtuous to stay in your house. But take care of the responsibilities that you've been commanded to take care of. But just sitting in the house on the phone talking about people, هَذَا لَا يَنْفَعُكْ. Because alhamdulillah, you can participate in the lessons, even if you don't attend the lessons, by listening over Pow Talk or over the telephone. So look, the ayat that you hear, will they have an effect upon you? Look at the companion, Jubair ibn Mut'im, radiallahu ta'ala an. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying Salat al-Maghrib, and he recited, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were the people created from nothing, or did they create themselves? This individual, he said, at that time when he heard the verse, he wasn't a Muslim. So look, sisters, alhamdulillah, we know that the Qur'an is the truth. We know that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal uncreated. But does the Qur'an affect us like it affected this man? He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recite this verse. Were the people created from nothing, or did they create themselves? He said, وَكَادَ قَلْبِ أَنْ يَطِيرُ. He said, my heart almost flew out of my chest. He said, and on that point, that is when Iman entered my heart. From one verse of the Qur'an. Also the mushrikun, when they heard the Prophet ﷺ recite ayat, when the Prophet ﷺ recited verses, certain verses about prostration, they all fell in prostration. That's the power of the Qur'an. So it's important that these verses, they have an effect upon you. Not my speech, but when you hear the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, if they do not affect you, then there's a problem. I'm not here to make you laugh. If you want a comedian, invite Allah made me funny. And that's not a piece of advice. هذا على سبيل المثال. Because al-ikhwan al-muslimun and those other groups and parties, they have to entertain the people with anashids and comedians and jokes and play and parties. We don't have to entertain the people with those type of things. Inshallah ta'ala, we have the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that's not sufficient, then nothing else will be. You will always be in a state of lust. So the tongue, also Umm Abdullah, she said, the tongue may cause a person to be in the lowest depths. It may humiliate a person. And this is if a person, they uses their tongue in affairs, and they speak about that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. فِي غَيْرِ مَا يُرْضِ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And that's obvious. I want to talk about, inshallah ta'ala, some of the things that if a person utters from their tongue, it will affect their dunya and it may affect their akhirah. Because sisters, don't think it's a simple thing, you know, the tongue. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us that the people of paradise, when they're in paradise, they will ask the people of the hellfire. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ What caused you to be in the hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ The people of the hellfire, they will say, we didn't pray. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ We didn't feed the poor. وَكُنَّ نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِدِينَ And we used to utter foolish speech with people when they used to talk in vain. And we used to deny يَوْمُ الدِّينَ So the first thing I want to discuss from those things that people fall into. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that it is possible for one of us, and this is any one of us, أن يتكلم بكلمة to say something لا يلقي لها بالا and we do not pay attention to what we are saying and this could cause us والعياذ بالله to fall into the hellfire. The first thing, al-ghiba, backbiting. What is backbiting? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, atadruna mal ghiba. Do you know what backbiting is? They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, backbiting, he explained it to be, dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. Mentioning your brother with that which he would dislike. Or mentioning a sister with that which she would dislike. Some people say, when you say it to a sister, ittaqillah, that's backbiting. And that's a statement that is very rare. It's very rare when you hear someone say, don't say that, it's backbiting. A brother or a sister will say, but it's true. What I'm saying is, it's true. So how am I backbiting? It's backbiting because backbiting is mentioning your brother or your sister with that which they dislike, even if it's true. If it's not true, then it's slander. And look at the threat of the punishment in the hellfire for those who backbite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, he said, لما عرج بي مررت بقوم And this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud in As-Sunan and narrated by Anas ibn Malik. He said, when I ascended, I passed by a people who had long nails that were made of copper. And they were scratching their faces and their chests. And I said to Jibreel, who are these people? And he said, هَؤُلَاءَ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُمَ النَّاسِ They're the people who eat the flesh of others. They eat the flesh of others, they backbite. So if a person likes to backbite, then get ready for that punishment that is a threat. If you have the audacity and you don't care, then get ready because that is a punishment that a person may experience. Also, another thing that we should learn to stay away from, an-namima. Tail carrying. That we go from one sister to another and say, this sister, she said such and such about you. Trying to cause trouble. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yadkhulu al-jannah, the tail carrier, the namam, will not enter paradise. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. The tail carrier will not enter paradise. The punishment is not just there. Also in the grave. عذاب القبر. The punishment of the grave. And don't let shaitan fool any of us into thinking that we will be able to tolerate that punishment. Because the Prophet ﷺ said about those people that are punished in the grave, when they are struck with the hammer from those people that are punished in the grave, they will scream. And they will cry out, everything can hear their screams, except for the humans and the jinn. So people right now are being punished in the grave, but we cannot hear them being punished. And sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marra Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi qabrain. The Prophet, he passed by two graves. And he said, these people, they are being punished, and they are being punished for something that you may not consider to be great, but in reality it's great. And he said, as for one of them, then they used to spread namima. They used to go around spreading tales. That's why we should stay away from the tail carrier. Another thing that we should stay away from that could harm us in this life and the next is lying. Al-kadhib. Lying. Wal-iyadu billah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna sidqa. And look, sisters, how these things, if we stay away from them, alhamdulillah, Allah azza wa jalla will bless us inshallah ta'ala in this life. And if a person falls into those things, how it could harm their dunya and their akhirah. Because people who love these type of things, they're miserable. That's why they have to talk about other people, because they don't have a life of their own. They're so miserable in their own household that they need entertainment with somebody else. They need to have somebody else's name on their tongue. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Inna sidqa yahdi ila al-bir." Truthfulness, it leads to what? Piety. And piety, it leads to paradise. And a person, if a person continues to be truthful, then they will be written with Allah Azza wa Jalla as a truthful individual. What about lying? In al-kadhib, lying, it leads to wickedness. So misery, unhappiness, incompleteness, a lack of success and prosperity, and wickedness, it leads to the hellfire. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us all from that. So look, again, lying, the tongue. Look how the tongue, it could take a person to Jannah, and the tongue could cause a person to be punished in the fire. It's a double-edged sword. For some people, the tongue, wallah alhamd, it is moist with the remembrance of Allah. For some people, their tongue is like a viper. It's like the venom of a poisonous snake. No one's safe from it. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Ad-Dawa Ad-Dawa, he said you find some people, when you look at them, you would say that's a pious person. But when they open their mouth, you say, Allahu Akbar, look at this person. It's like brothers. You may look at a brother and say, MashaAllah, that brother looks like he's on the sunnah. Or a sister, she may have gloves, all black, you cannot see anything. Wallah alhamd. As soon as she opens that mouth, you're like, La ilaha illallah. And that's a shame, because alhamdulillah, you choose to cover properly because that's modesty. But also part of modesty is conducting yourself properly. Why do we forget about that? As our brother Tawfiq would say, beware of the women in black. Hafidhahullah ta'ala. Why? Because, again, unfortunately, sisters, we get lost along the way, and that's normal. That's normal, because we're in a time where we're surrounded by dunya. Alhamdulillah, me and some of the brothers, we traveled to California. Wallahi, I can see how people get infatuated with the dunya. It's a curse. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." This world is a prison for the believer and it's a jannah for the kafir. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dunya mal'oon, mal'oon and ma fiha." This world is cursed, everything in it is cursed. Wallahi, there's so much temptation. But then again, alhamdulillah, we have one another to remind ourselves about the real purpose. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and I mentioned the ayah in the beginning, do you think that Allah created you in play and that you'll never return to Him? The believer, any time his desires get the better of him or her, alhamdulillah, he smells the coffee. What is the smelling of the coffee? He realizes, I have to face Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is a mirage. This is a mirage. And I mentioned in the last lecture that we had the reason for this. And for those who didn't attend, inshallah ta'ala, I'll mention it again. Why is it that it is at times difficult to remain firm upon that which is right? Because I'm sure nearly every sister in the audience knows what is right. And I'm sure nearly every sister in the audience knows what is wrong. But we find it hard to do what is right and stay away from that which is wrong, except for those whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has mercy upon. Why is that? The answer is simple. The Prophet ﷺ told us. Listen to the answer. And whenever the dunya gets the better of you, and you start to become intoxicated by its fumes and smells, then realize that's nothing but the shaitan. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when Allah Azza wa Jalla created paradise, he sent Jibreel to paradise. He said, go and look at paradise and what I've prepared for the people. Jibreel, he went to look at paradise. He returned to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He said, wa izzatik, by your might, O Allah. No one will hear of paradise except they will desire to enter it. Why? Because of the enjoyment. Any person with any sanity will want to enter paradise. The bliss of paradise, eternal bliss. Sisters, you will not menstruate in paradise. You will not experience the pain of childbirth in paradise. You will look good in paradise. Alhamdulillah, there's no need for cosmetic surgery. That's all you see in Hollywood. Plastic surgeons. In Jannah, you won't need that. In Jannah. So Jibreel went back to Allah. He said, وَإِزَّتِكْ by your might, O Allah. Whoever hears of paradise, they will yearn to enter it. They will act for paradise because of the enjoyment that is in paradise. And it lasts for eternity. It lasts for eternity. Many of us, very few of us, will live 100 years. If you divide infinity by 100, it gives you that which is zero. So really in this world, so you have to spend no time for eternity. Subhanallah. But we're short-sighted and we can't remove the smoke from our eyes. Also Jibreel, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, and Jibreel, he went back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, no one will hear of paradise except that they will yearn to enter it. So Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that paradise be surrounded by makarih, difficulty and hardship. So then he said to Jibreel, now go and look at paradise after it has been surrounded by hardship. So if we want paradise, we have to work for it. If we want Jannah, we have to work for it. We have to sacrifice our time and our effort, and we have to overcome our whims and our desires, and we have to treat the sicknesses of our qalb, our heart. Because when Jibreel looked at the hardship that surrounded paradise, he went back to Allah and he said, "Wa izzatik, by your might, O Allah, I fear that no one will enter paradise." Why? Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. That is why we can bring comedians. We can bring rappers that are rapping with so-called halal raps. We can have a catwalk for people to model the new jilbab, which will likely be something that is impermissible and not even cover the woman properly. But that's just a mirage. It's a smokescreen to escape reality. It may be difficult. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, whoever strives for our sake, we will guide him to the straight path. All of us have desires. All of us, because majority of us, we grew up in the West. We were born in the West. So we have desires. We have shahawat, but we have to control those desires. We have to tame our desires, and that may be difficult. But wallahi, the reward is great. Some of us used to do things, and still we may be affected with that. That's part of the struggle. To return back to that fitrah that Allah Azza wa Jalla created us upon. Sisters, the Prophet ﷺ, he continued, he said, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Jibreel to the hellfire to go and look at the hellfire. Jibreel, he went to the hellfire, and he looked at the hellfire, and he returned to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he said, wa izzatik, by your might. Whoever hears of this hellfire will not enter it. Why? Because they'll run away from it. They will run away from this hellfire. When they hear of the punishment of the hellfire, they're going to run away from it. The fire is 70 times hotter than the fire of this world. Wow. I can't put my hand in the fire for a minute. So imagine if it's 70 times worse. Subhanallah. Allah will punish in the hellfire like this those people who fornicate, those people who slander, those people who lie. Wal'iyadu billah. I'm going to run away from that. Reality. Because reality checks. It brings you back to reality. So Jibreel, he went back to Allah. And he said, whoever hears of this hellfire will not enter it.
Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that the hellfire be surrounded by whims and desires and lusts. And then he said to Jibreel, go back and look at the hellfire now, after it was surrounded by lusts and desires. Jibreel, he went back and he looked at the hellfire, and he returned back to Allah Azza wa Jal. What did he say? He said, by your might, I fear that no one will be safe from it, because it's surrounded by lusts, and it's difficult for people to overcome their lusts. That's why we have to put a rein around the necks of our desires and strangle it to get control over it. Naam. Because some people are looking for perfection. So for example, when they look for a husband, they're always looking for something that's better. They're living that Hollywood dream that there's a perfect man out there. If you have a husband that is righteous and alhamdulillah, he takes care of you and your children, and he fears Allah Azza wa Jal, alhamdulillah, be happy with that. Suffice with it, because inshallah he's making it easy for you to go to Jannah. And at the same time, if you're looking for someone who is wicked and wretched and satisfies your desires and doesn't care about the religion, then know that he may make it easy for you to go on that path that leads to the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah. Also, continuing, sisters, from those things that will harm us, the actions of the tongue that will harm us is ifsha' sir, spreading secrets. I don't know, I think we're living in a time where Allah knows best. There are very few people who can keep a secret. Because it all starts by you saying to your friend, this is between me and you. And in Arabic there's a statement, bainana, between us. But in reality what you're saying, it's between me and you and everyone else who you tell. Ifsha' sir, spreading people's secrets. Wallahi, again, it's important when you are trusted that you keep the secret. As Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, and fulfill the agreement of Allah if you've taken that agreement. And Allah Azza wa Jalla commands you, brothers and sisters, if you make an agreement, to stick to it. And the sign of the hypocrite, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is three. إِذَا حَدَّثَ, when he speaks, he lies. If he promises, he breaks his promise. And when he's trusted, he proves to be untrustworthy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and this is important for brothers and sisters, one of the worst types of secrets that people expose is the secrets that occur in the bedroom. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, inna min sharri nas manzila, one of the most evil of the people on the day of judgment is a man who has relations with his wife and then he goes out and spreads it amongst the people. Or likewise, a sister, she goes out and spreads things about her husband. That's between you and him. Wallahi, the mafasid, the evils of that are great. We don't have time to go into them right now. Also, sab al-Muslim, bidun haq. Another thing that will harm a person is abusing the Muslim without any rights. Abusing a Muslim. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, abusing a Muslim is fusuq, it is a sin. And fighting him is kufr, meaning the lesser disbelief. And abusing the believers, sisters, is not something that is simple. Because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when two people abuse one another, then the sin will return to the one who started it, as long as the one who is being oppressed does not go beyond bounds. So if somebody abuses you, alhamdulillah, I know it takes patience and it takes effort, but again, the struggle for Jannah, as we said, it takes effort and patience. Alhamdulillah, let them carry the burden. Just sit back and just rub your hands together and say, mashallah, I can't wait for that day when I'm taking them hasanah. Just sit back and rub their hands together, because the person that backbites, the person that abuses other people, wallahi, he's making it easy. That's why if someone speaks ill of you, alhamdulillah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked about the people that speak bad about the companions. Listen what she said. She said the companions were a people that Allah loved. And Allah Azza wa Jal wanted their good deeds to continue after they are dead. Meaning what? So when people speak bad about them, it doesn't harm them. They get the good deeds. So sisters, when someone speaks bad about you, just sit back and rub your hands. And say, Alhamdulillah, I'm getting good deeds and I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting in my house. Because you hear people. Wallahi, there are a lot of people that love to hate on people's situations. Because they're jealous. And jealousy is something that many people have. As mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Ibn Taymiyyah said, the people, they have two qualities. These two qualities are jealousy and haughtiness and arrogance. But some people control them better than others. So when you hear people saying, oh, that sister, subhanallah, that brother, he got his foot on her neck. All she does is stay in the house all day. They're jealous. Because you have a good husband, inshallah ta'ala. And they're miserable and they're single. And that's the danger of single friends who don't want to get married. They sit back and they're thinking, she's too happy for me. How can I make her miserable? The sister has a good husband. But they sit back and say, yeah, your husband, subhanAllah. And that's the danger, sisters. When you have an altercation with your husband, keep it between you and your husband. Don't go to the friend for advice. Because she'll say, yeah, subhanAllah, I'd get rid of him. I'd ask for a khul'ah. But then a few weeks later, you sit back and she marry a person a billion times worse. Wallahi, these are realities. These are things that take place. Again, we're losing sight. Because if we just stuck, if we tried to stay focused, inshallah ta'ala, these things wouldn't be able to affect us. Naam. Also, and inshallah ta'ala, I'll finish with this point, bi'nillahi ta'ala. I don't want to go on too long. Because I know the brother Talib is next. Another thing that is harmful and it may harm a person in this life and the hereafter, too much complaining. Ash-shakwa, too much complaining. And this is referring, sisters, to complaining when you don't have a reason to complain. Complaining when you do not have a reason to complain. And that is why, what is the definition of patience? Patience is habs an-nafs. You prevent yourself, you do not allow yourself to become severely annoyed. Annoyed to the extent where you start to behave crazy. And also you prevent your tongue, you hold back your tongue, you safeguard the tongue from voicing any complaint. Too much complaining when there is no real reason for you to complain is something that is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because if you complain too much and you do not have a valid reason, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is blessing you, Allah Azza wa Jalla is blessing you, and all you do is complain, you're being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, if you are thankful, then I will increase you. And if you are ungrateful, then the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla is severe. Because when a person complains too much, it shows that they're not being patient. And that is why, sisters, I'm sure you've heard the hadith many times, min al-asbab, from those things that has caused the women to be the majority of the hellfire, is that they complain a lot. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said to the women, when he was admonishing them, give sadaqah. Give sadaqah. And this is why, sisters, it's important that you compete. Look, Allah Azza wa Jal has made man and woman, and Allah Azza wa Jal has created us with the same purpose, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And male and female compete with each other to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And the same rulings apply to the man, and the same rulings apply to the woman, unless there's a text to show otherwise. So the sisters, they should be competing with the brothers in terms of prayer, in terms of fasting, in terms of giving charity. It should be a competition. Even knowledge. Sisters should try their best in a halal fashion to get knowledge. And I keep saying this. One of our main problems is that there's not a thirst for knowledge amongst the people. And in order to attract people, it's like you have to sell popcorn and put on a show. Whereas in reality, knowledge, it should be sufficient. When Abu Hurairah, he said to the people, Go to the masjid. Because they're dividing and they're splitting and sharing the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously the people, they rush to the masjid. Like if I was to say to you today, in the masjid they're handing out $100 bills. And then when they got to the masjid, they didn't see any money or any dunya. They saw a group of people learning the Quran, a group of people studying this, a group of people studying that. They turned around and they said, where is this inheritance? He said, that's the inheritance of the Prophet ﷺ. Right there, that ilm. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the women, give charity. That verily, you are the majority of the hellfire. فَقَامَتْ إِمْرَأَ So a woman stood up, and she asked the Prophet ﷺ, why is that? The Prophet ﷺ said, because you complain a lot, and you're ungrateful. So the women, they started to give charity from their jewelry and that which they possessed, and they were throwing it into the thawb that was held by Bilal. So look, too much complaining. If Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you, be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If you're in a good situation, be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If you have good opportunities, be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Don't look at the one who is more fortunate than yourself. Don't look at the one who you believe is in a better situation than you are in. Because you don't really know if they're in a better situation. Maybe they're in a state of misery, but they don't let on to you. So inshallah ta'ala, that's some of the advice inshallah ta'ala I wanted to share with the sister.
وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير